Hey, this is Nick Gelso, co-owner and founder of CLNS Radio. Today's podcast is brought to you by Lynda.com. Lynda.com is the home of expert video tutorials. Because you're such a loyal listener of CLNS Radio, and it's 2015, you want to kick the new year off in style, claim your free trial today from CLNS by going to Lynda.com/CLNS. That's LYNDA.com/CLNS. Now on to your regularly scheduled program.
Welcome to the Boston Celtics postgame show on CLNSradio.com.
Off the turnover, Rondo reverse, banks it in.
Fans, this is your destination for interactive Celtics coverage all season long.
Kelly still has time, takes it.
So what are you waiting for? We want to hear from you. Dial in at 347-215-7771.
Green out of the corner. Got another one.
Now let's get it started.
Yes, yes, yes. Let's get it started. Ladies and gentlemen, just like old times, here I am, Mr. Matt Rury on the Celtics postgame show, joined once again, as we end the regular season, by the one and only Nick Gelso. Gelso, hello, sir.
What's up, sir? How we doing, Rory?
Good, man. Listen, Celtics win tonight, 105-100. They beat the Bucks. They played a good game without Isaiah Thomas, without Avery Bradley, who stayed home in Boston,
Crowder.
Without Jay Crowder. They played a team in Milwaukee that we'll get into the game as we go along here on the post-game show, but they seem to be sort of treading water a little bit. I don't expect them to do that well in the playoffs, but we can talk about that later. But the point here is, Nick, it's time for a celebration. And this
playoff,
is
this baby.
It's officially playoff time. That's right.
That's
and the Celtics are in, and they weren't in last year. It's been 1 year that they weren't in the playoffs. It's in the last, what is it, 9 years now? It's crazy to think that they're back in, and I'm glad that I'm here doing this last game with you tonight, sir.
Ditto, man. Thank you for everything you did all season. Again, it was a tough one, Rory. Tough season to manage. People don't understand the undertaking this is that you handle so well. The schedule is a nightmare. And thanks to everybody for listening. But, yeah, we're back in the playoffs.
It's crazy, man. It's open a Peak Brew, man, because here we go. And while you're at it, go to peakbrewing.com and check them out on Facebook as well. Open one of those up. Celebrate. Have a nice organic beer to celebrate the Celtics in the playoffs. It's official. The regular season is over. They will face Cleveland on Sunday. You can give us a call tonight at 347-215-7771 if you want to talk about
the game tonight.
Yeah, it does feel like old times. Maybe I'll start breaking out some of the old clips and stuff too.
Oh, man, no. There's classics in there. Only you know that switchboard. I can never find anything.
I'm the only one.
Not this. Not them.
That's right. We are going to see Mr. LeBron James on Sunday.
Yeah, back to LeBron. And how many games will this series go, Rory?
Wow. Are we going to do that right off the bat here?
Might as well, man. This game
might
is,
as
I
well.
Mean, tonight, it was a good game tonight. We could talk about it for a little bit.
We will. You know what? This is fine. We will talk about this game because it was a fun game to watch.
It was a good one.
Like I said, 105-100 victory. But since you asked the question, while we're at it, maybe we should just tease that. Yeah, I'm going to tease that to later. I'm going to hold that,
right.
And we're going to circle back. And we're gonna talk about our predictions for the playoffs later. So if you were hoping to hear that right off the bat, well, I'm sorry. All you get is not six, not seven. That's right.
Not six,
we will have
not
to wait.
Seven.
We are here for the next hour, Nick.
We wore that one out, Rory. We wore that out.
There's a lot that's been worn out here. But we are here for the next hour. And we will be taking calls throughout that hour if people are getting ready to come and discuss this game with us, or like I said, the Celtics playoff chances against Cleveland down the line. But let's focus on this game tonight, because Nick, this was a coming out party for one Gigi Datome. He gets the start I said, Bradley's out, Thomas is out, Crowder's out. Datome gets the start. He had a rough first quarter. He didn't play a whole lot after the first couple of minutes because the Celtics started slow on defense, so Coach Stevens switched him out. And I think it was a good move because things turned around, and then Gigi came back off the bench and played really well the rest of this game. He scored 22 points, knocked down a few threes, had a couple of sweet passes. And I'm not highlighting him because people are going crazy for this guy in Boston. And Yeah, he's the new Scal. He's the new Victory Cigar. He's a EuroLeague MVP, whatever it may be. He's a solid player. He's good. He's a good player. He can get things done in limited minutes, sure. The reason I'm highlighting him is because he just is a guy that steps up just this team. Basically, it is just the definition of this team. He's a guy that will step up when called upon, and I think that bodes well for a series against a Cleveland team that is really probably going to beat this team into the ground as hard as they can. And if you have guys that can step in and step up and have an effect on the game as it goes in waves, then you may make Cleveland have a harder time than people expect. And that would be great. And I just think that Gigi is a guy that you can sort of point the finger at him and say, he's the epitome of this team, and everybody else sort of is the same type of player, whether it's Sullinger or Bass or Zeller or Turner or Jerebko. Go up and down the lineup, Nick. They're all guys that will just step up when called upon.
Very selfless team. They almost remind me, I mean, it's like taboo now, but they almost remind me of the Sixers a couple years ago. I mean, they just didn't have a big star, but everybody chipped in. And I think the Celtics eliminated them that year. But they were like one of those teams that didn't have the big name, and that I think that's kind of what makes this team fun to watch. Datome, every time I see him, I think of Nikola from the Facebook group. You're not on Facebook, Rory, so you don't know. But when he was in Boston recently, it was like, where's Waldo? Because every 3 minutes there was a new picture of him hanging out with, you know, around the garden, and here he had several with Datome. And you know, he'd be the typical character Celtics fans would get behind. But this team it's been crazy since the new year, and I don't know. I mean, tonight was a good, fun game to watch. As was obviously the Toronto game was. I think I texted you, you fool, because you gave up your tickets for that game. But what a game that was!
Yeah, I mean, everybody was involved tonight. Everybody just sort of fit the flow of the offense. They're buying into Brad Stevens' system 110%.
Wow, they bought in.
They're in. These guys are all in. And I mean, maybe it took Sullinger a few weeks to sitting out and watching from the sidelines to buy in. Maybe that's part of the reason that he was out. But we can all speculate on that. But he's in. He's in now too. You know, and that's a rare thing in the NBA to see every single player on a roster.
I'm in. After two seasons, I'm finally in. I'm eating crow. But as I watch this team, and I've been watching a little bit more the last couple games. I've had just time has worked out. But Evan Turner, I mean, what do you say? What do you say about Evan Turner? Does he stay with this team? I mean,
listen, I like the way I think they like his leadership, and I think that he's going to stick around for a long time. And speaking of people whose employers like their leadership, and I believe will be sticking around a long time, I bring to you, Nick, the one and only co-host of the Evening Score, Mr. Sean Backe.
All right, man.
Gentlemen.
Hello, Sean. Hello, Sean. Our first caller of the night at 347-215-7771. Sean, I really had to get you in on this discussion because I think that this is a great question by Nick. Is Turner going to stick around? He's a guy, he didn't play a whole lot tonight, but over the course of the last couple of months, he's really gotten himself involved in the leadership of this team. He's been vocal, and his play on the court is backing it up. So I want your opinion on whether you think that he's going to be around for a while here.
Yeah, I mean, triple doubles aside, because obviously you can, you know, take it or leave it with that kind of stat. But he does things that that don't necessarily show up on the stat sheet that helps his team win games. And he's taken on a role that he, you know, may not be that familiar with. And, you know, whether you want to call him a point forward or what, he's been the leader. He's been the point guard. He's been the general for this team when called upon. And he's done nothing but succeed. Now, you know, he's had his games where he's gone out there and gone, you know, 3 for 17 or stuff like that, and only had 4 points. But he always seems to contribute in other ways. And like you said, the leadership that he's shown this season, this is a guy that I would love to have around, you know, if I'm Danny Ainge and I'm Brad Stevens, because, you know, he's 100% bought in, Nick.
And he executes Stevens. He executes Stevens' plays very well. You see down the stretch, the ball's in his hands a lot, as was with the Raptors game. And I think the only real question is, there's no doubt Danny Ainge has to bring in, he doesn't have to bring in three guys, you know, but he's got to bring in a leader. He's got to bring in a real talent. And at that point, is Turner going to be able to, you know, accept being the fourth, fifth option? You know what I mean?
Well, I think that suits him. You know, I don't think he's going to be the first or second option on the team. But you put it this way, I mean, on this team this season, I mean, the beginning of the season, everyone was crushing. We were doing it ourselves on CLNS Radio. I won't pick out anybody's name, but he was getting crushed by even CLNS Radio early in the season. Right. But I think he's turned it around, and he's been more consistent. The Celtics have severely lacked a closer at the end of games since Paul Pierce was traded. And he has been able to be counted on to get the job done at the end of games, whether it's inbounding the pass, whether it's you know, driving the lane and pulling up for a jumper, whether it's going to the hoop. I mean, this guy has been a closer to an extent, and I think that is obviously benefited the Celtics, especially down the stretch here. I mean, guys, we're talking about a 40-win team here, and it's the Boston Celtics.
That's right. Hey,
who would have thought it?
As we usually get here around these parts, we're going a little overboard, and I'm getting excited about this. It's a 40-win team. You just said it. That's it. It's an under 500, overachieving 40-win team.
Right. And nobody
Brad Stevens is a big part of that, but Evan Turner is a big part of that as well. And I don't want to pump his tires too much, because I still am very wary about these isolation situations. If the play breaks down, I understand that Brad is running things and he's got multiple options out there, but if for some reason those options break down, I still don't want Evan Turner in an isolation situation, because as good as he's been and as in control as he's been, I feel like I'm not convinced that that's actually who he is yet. And if he keeps doing it consistently, then I'll back off of this. But I still need all the movement and the options that Brad Stevens puts out on the floor.
You bring up isolation. It reminds me of Pierce, obviously, because he's always bitch about the isolation play at the end of the game.
But Turner's not Pierce. You know what I mean? But it's not even close.
I have to ask it with the truth coming up. There's been talks, you know, first of all, brass words against New Jersey. I mean, pretty typical Pierce. Coming back? I mean, do you think Pierce could make it back on this team?
He said that he's retiring after next year, so he'll play out his contract in Washington, and that'll be it. And he's going to hang it up. I would not be surprised in the least. I would actually I would probably be more surprised if this didn't happen than if it did happen. But I would guess that at some point he will be in a front office or a basketball operations position with the Boston Celtics.
Yeah, and I'd be disappointed if it didn't happen. I'm pretty dead set on that. I mean, even Pierce is good in front of a mic. He could be a CSN guy. I mean, I can't see him playing Scal, but he could be an NBA TV guy, you know. But, I mean, it was good to see Pierce's name out there the last couple days with some of the trash talking he's been doing. And you think KG went back, so you never know. But
yeah, and since we're on the topic, Scalabrine mentioned that if you read that article, which you obviously did, Pierce sort of bashed Ray Allen a little bit, said he didn't show up to dinners and stuff. On the broadcast tonight, I don't know if you caught it, Brian Scalabrine said that the reason is because that he and Ray Allen were going out to dinner, not Pierce and Garnett and all that. And I think he was being sincere. So I think that he was trying to defend his friend Ray Allen in a moment there tonight. But that's neither here nor there. Sean, I don't want to waste too much of your time tonight, but did you have something specific on your mind? I know that we were encouraging everybody to call, but I figure you had something.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously this game tonight was, you know, was a good way to finish the season. Obviously, they've won six straight games. You know, they really had nothing to play for, nor did Milwaukee, but I thought that both teams played hard. You know, obviously it was good to see Datome come out and, like you said, he had a shaky start, but ended up with a career high 22 points. That's great to see. I really, really love what Jonas Jerebko brings to the team. I mean, he's not a superstar. They don't have any superstars on the team, but he just goes out there. He had 16 points tonight, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, couple of steals. He's running the floor. Yeah, he brings energy. I love him sitting in the corner just, you know, waiting for the three, and he's hitting them. So that's great to see. And, you know, those are the kind of guys, and Scalabrine even talked about this during the broadcast, these are the kind of guys that you need in the playoffs. Now, nobody's going to give the Celtics a shot in hell in the series against Cleveland. So if they could steal a couple games, I think, you know, we'd all be happy with that. But anything can happen once you get into the playoffs. You know,
Sean, there's confidence surrounding this team.
There is, yeah, and the confidence stems from guys like Jay Crowder and guys like Marcus Smart and guys like Jonas Jerebko that just go out there and they're the lunch pail guys and they're, you know, the dirt dogs, like we, you know, say for the baseball players, the Red Sox. You know, those, they just work hard, and you know they're not going to get the accolades as you know superstars in the league, but they just get the job done, and that's where you got to give kudos to Danny Ainge, because getting Jay Crowder, although he had to give up Rajon Rondo to get him, has been to his benefit this season. Getting Jonas Jerebko and Didi Datome from Detroit for Tayshaun Prince was a steal. You know, yeah,
people looked at Crowder. At Crowder coming back in that Rondo deal, myself included, and just said, "Oh, this guy's always been a scrub his entire mm-hmm. career. It's a short career, but he's been a scrub. He's been this. He's been that." I'm still hesitant for him shooting, even though he won that game last night. I still am.
Cool.
You guys know me. I'm stubborn.
That was a Ray Allen shot.
Yeah, but. I'm still growing into liking his shot. It wasn't a play like that against Miami. He's still growing into his shot too, though. I got to remember he's never had this much playing time. So that's the thing that I'm trying
to keep
consistent.
Jerebko. He didn't get the playing time in Detroit. He's capitalized.
So once these guys get going, it's going to be a good thing. And they're exciting to watch, and a testament to the way that the coaching staff has put together this team, I think.
The biggest win for us this season, regardless of what happens in the first round, is Danny has, first of all, we know he's amassed a fleet of draft picks, but he's also set a perfect stage for free agency, because this team is legitimately 1 to 2 players away from seriously contending. And I mean, it may be a different roster, but with all the pieces that he has amassed, he can either trade away or he could lure people in, because the coach is certainly luring people in, and people want to play with him. And people want to play with Isaiah Thomas, I think, at this point. So, you know, I mean, it's a good situation. I mean, some people constantly say, well, the whole getting in the playoffs is going to be a one and done. And, you know, what about the lottery? Screw the lottery. Go, you know, I think you got to go. The lottery's weak. The draft is weak this year anyway. I think you've got to go for continuing to build a team that attracts free agents. The whole Boston Celtics, or Boston not being a free agent destination, is complete and utter BS, I think, at this point in particular.
Ainge is forced to build from the middle, and he's doing the best that he can. And I think that he finally realized that once Doc Rivers was gone, that was a good place to start, was with the coach, and he found his guy. And now that all these players are buying in,
and fans.
They're playing. They're and fans as well. They're playing over their heads. There's confidence throughout the organization. Mike Gorman thinks they're going to win at least two games in this series, or he thinks they'll win two games in the series. He said this morning on radio. It's just a different feel, even from last year, but it's definitely a different feel from the end of the Big Three tenure. Not with Ray Allen.
Well,
but
I agree with you.
With Pierce and Garnett and Rondo, that was a nice season. There was they had some fight in the playoffs there. It was fun to see them sort of ride off or whatever. But this feels more exciting, and they're not technically as good of a team.
Especially if you think about it too, at the end of the Pierce KG era, there was all that self-created. I mean, they created it themselves. Who's the leader of the team drama? Rondo's the leader of the team. This one's the leader. So there was that. Then there were really high expectations for Jason Terry. He underperformed. And there were injuries. So, yeah, I mean, I think since up until the – and I don't want to put it all on Rondo. I think it's more than just Rondo. I think the culture was eroding long before that. And up until the Rondo trade, there's been kind of like a dark cloud of negativity around the team, and it's shown in these broadcasts. We're fans as well, so you get frustrated, and I think that negativity has cleared, and it really cleared when Brad Stevens was able to take control of the team. The only thing I got to tell you is I love the motion in his offense, but it's still so reliant on the three-point shot. I mean, I know they shot well from three tonight.
Right,
but
that's a
you
problem.
Can't live. We've seen teams like this, the Orlando Magic years ago. They lived and died by the three. They never got out of they got to the finals once, but still they never really got out of the second round. Kind of mediocre. It's hard to live and die by the three, and this is one of those teams that really died. I mean, Brad Stevens' offense is really predicated around the big men shooting threes.
Well, I mean, you live by the three, die by the three. You know that Isaiah Thomas getting to the rack is also something that's going to be a big part of this offense in the playoffs. If they can get some motion for him and that working. Sean, sir, we thank you for the call. Unless you got anything else, I'm going to let you get back to your family.
I know you guys have some other callers, but it was fun to watch this game as a fan tonight and not necessarily as an analyst and see what some of these role players are going to bring to the table in the playoffs and let them get a little bit more experience. I really love the fact that the Celtics had a chance to rest their players last night and maybe, I don't want to say tank that game, but, maybe not win that game last night and, avoid playing Cleveland. I like that they went out and played hard and won that game. And Jay Crowder spoke to that they wanted to play hard and win that game in Toronto. And they were able to do that, and they won at Cleveland. So they could have very easily, taken their foot off the gas and went for the better matchup on paper against Atlanta, even though that wouldn't be an easy series either. But I just really love the fight in the team, and, they're going to be fun to watch. It's going to be an exciting series. Even if they lose, in six games, it's still going to be fun to watch.
Agreed.
I love the take, Sean. It's going to be an excellent series, and I think the people predicting that they're going to get their faces kicked in are going to be dead wrong, and I think the Celtics are going to be competitive in this series, and they are going to steal a game or two. Thank you, sir. Everybody listen to the
Thank
evening
you.
Score.
Yeah, baby.
Have a good night.
Good night.
There he goes, Sean Backe. All right, Nick, do you mind if I take 30 seconds to have a little personal shout-out?
Do what you gotta do, buddy.
All right. I would like to say happy birthday to the one and only Liz Farola. She helps us on Careless Whispers. It is her birthday today. This
happy
is
birthday.
Her favorite song. Happy birthday, Liz. I'll stop.
Oh my
that.
God.
Yeah, I just had to throw that out there. Happy birthday,
happy
Liz.
Happy birthday,
Farola.
Liz. That's
All right.
great. Happy birthday.
And
we got
from
a little
there,
Goo Goo Dolls there, I think. Was that Goo Goo
hates,
Dolls?
Yeah, that she hates. She hates that. She's probably not happy with me. But I hope she had a good birthday today.
Great.
Yep. So anyway, whoops. I just backed out of the studio, but I guess I'm still with you.
You are.
Well, anyway, we are going on here, but first I'll remind the people that the same thing that you reminded them in that little clip off the top. We are Lynda.com. That's LYNDA.com. And you can head over to Lynda right now and get a free 10-day trial from us, basically. It's at Lynda.com/CLNS. And if you haven't heard about it yet, then you're missing out because it's a huge website. And they were just bought out by LinkedIn, and they're going to continue running as Lynda.com, and you can still get that free 10-day trial, so don't worry about that. But that's big news for them, and it's big news for all of you that use Lynda.com right now. So head on over there and get that free trial as soon as you can.
This season, I'll tell you, it's really gone 82. I mean, right now, so many teams are jockeying and clinching, right? Still right down to the end.
It's crazy. I mean, when you look at the standings, as I refresh them here, because that Indiana game's not over yet, that if Indiana wins that game, they're in. If they lose, it looks like Brooklyn is in, because the NBA.com standings does not have Brooklyn as out. So they would have that tiebreaker because they won tonight. And I guess they have the tiebreaker against Indiana as well. so they would be in. And, I mean, it's just coming right down to the last moment, Nick. It's kind of crazy.
It is. It's been a fun season, interesting season. So can we get to our predictions, or you want to take more callers?
I am trying to fix the click that I did wrong here. I'm trying to get back to the studio. Do you have the switchboard open?
I do not.
You do not. Oh, here we go. I'm back. That was
another password.
I don't know what happened there. That was my fault, folks. I'm sorry. It was going so smoothly, but it wouldn't be a Matt Rury post-game show without some sort of trickery happening here. You know what it was? It was probably, it was karma for playing that song for Liz's birthday.
It was the Goo Goo Dolls. They overloaded the switchboard.
That's what it was. It was karma. Anyway, we are going to go to our next caller at 347-215-7771. He is part of our team, and I'll just say it right here, right on live on the air. I don't know if I've told this to you yet, Nick, but if we were to vote on something like this, this man would get my vote for Rookie of the Year for CLNS Radio.
Yeah, man.
Mr. Jess Thomas. Jess, thanks for calling
us. Oh, the Rookie of the Year. Wow, man. I thought he was a seasoned veteran. He is so good. Welcome, Jess.
Oh, thank you.
Also the host of Red Sox Beat with Jared Scali.
Exactly. And he steps up as often as he can. Jess, thanks for calling us. What's on your mind tonight, man?
Really, I just called because I wanted to thank you guys for bringing me on this year, and it was a great year. I had a lot of fun, and I'm really glad you guys got me into the post-game show because it's been a blast.
Yeah, man, many All more. Right. We still got the playoffs, baby.
Yeah, playoffs, that's right. And I mean, we'll figure out the schedule. I mean, the first game's on Sunday, obviously. I'm pretty sure I'm going to schedule myself for that one. And then we'll see how it goes from there, but hopefully people are excited about it. And I know there's definitely a handful of guys on this crew that are going to be excited to do the post-game shows and hopefully take some calls from some new people maybe and some old friends as well. But, Jess, I mean, it's going to be an exciting series, so enough of this gooey, mushy stuff. I mean, let's just get into it. We're about the midway point in the show. I guess we can switch from a Bucks post-game show to a playoff preview. What do you think, Jess? You can be the first one.
I mean, anyone can call me crazy. I mean, people are saying they could win one or two games, maybe. I think they could go even farther than that. I mean, this is happening at the perfect time because, as we all know, the Celtics are on fire right now. Six in a row, 7 out of 8, 7 straight road wins. They're playing great. I know that they played Cleveland without their starters and all that, but they're really buying into Brad's system. They're all playing together. Whoever plays that night, whether it be Gigi Datome, Jonas Jerebko, Kelly Olynyk, they just play. It doesn't matter who plays. They all play so well. I think Cleveland should be scared. I don't know if we'll win the series. I hope we do, because that would be like the greatest the greatest upset in NBA history.
And the greatest bragging points. Are you kidding me?
Exactly. Yeah, that would definitely be bigger than the Denver-Seattle thing that happened long ago. That would be crazy.
I'll tell you, though, we've had our best trash-talking against LeBron. So, man, that would be amazing, but it ain't going to happen.
I don't know, guys. Listen, I mean, I do like the idea of them winning a couple games in this series, though. For the past week or so, just thinking about the fact that it looks like the Celtics are going to have Cleveland, even though it wasn't clinched, things were sort of starting to go their way, and Cleveland was definitely the two, and it looked like Indiana and Miami were faltering a little bit, but the Celtics looked strong. I just started thinking it's going to be Cleveland. It's going to be Cleveland. And I keep having this vision of a late-game situation where the Celtics are down two, they're down three, even.
I hear that right
maybe
now.
Maybe they're down a point, and or even flip it. The Celtics are up a point. They're up two. And
how timeout is called.
Not even that. A timeout is called, and you're looking at, for one play, one moment to win a game, what does Brad Stevens do against what does David Blatt / LeBron James do? And
LeBron James,
What are those Cleveland Cavaliers players going to listen? Who are they going to listen to? Is it going to be LeBron? Is he going to be the one that's been watching tape now and trying to pick apart Brad Stevens? Or is it going to be David Blatt? Are they going to have differing opinions? I just have this vision of Cleveland collapsing because of something like that series, but in a game, and the Celtics winning on David Blatt's incompetence and just LeBron missing something that Brad Stevens drew up and fooled him on. And if that happens, I'm going to go nuts. I'm going to love it.
I could say I agree with you. I don't think it'll happen against the Celtics, but at some point during these playoffs, there will be that point of confusion. I mean, that whole situation, well, you know my feelings on LeBron. It's like a coach's death sentence, coaching him. I mean, Spoelstra did well, but LeBron flew town. So, I mean, he's a control freak. And I think in the playoffs, anytime in the NBA, there's just too much going on. You know, it's not like when Bill Russell was player coach. I mean, there were no assistant coaches back then. Now you got a fleet. So I don't know. I mean, it's going to be fun. It's going to be somewhat nostalgic. Now think about this, guys. Last time we saw LeBron in a Cavs uniform in the playoffs was game six of when he, you know, air quote, hurt his elbow and gave up, and they were chanting New York Knicks at the Garden. You were there, Rory, I think.
Yes.
2009, yes. Maybe? 2010. We went to the finals that year. The Celtics went to the finals that year.
Right. And, I mean, LeBron has had some of his biggest choke moments in TD Garden. So if one of those games happens, he's actually had some huge moments there as well. So, you got to give him both sides.
Miami game six, that was...
But even some of those games with Cleveland back then, those were huge moments. And I mean, he can perform on the stage here. I just would hope that the karma and the stuff inside that building and inside the aura of the Boston Celtics is enough to affect him for a game or two, and they can get one at home, because I think that the fans are really starting to buy into this team, and they kind of showed it the other day on Sunday. Against Cleveland, when the top Cleveland players weren't even there, top three or four guys weren't even playing, right? No LeBron, no Kyrie Irving, no Love, and the fans were still there, and they stayed the whole game, and they were excited. So we're drowning out.
The fans
out
have been behind them really all season. The fans have been behind them all season. You go to the games.
Yes, no, it's true. And then more recently, there's been more people than expected, and we're really starting to catch on. And especially now that the Bruins have finished their season and they're not in the playoffs, I think there's going to be a lot of focus turned to the Boston Celtics as the Red Sox get their season going. And Jess, you can speak to that as well, because you do host Red Sox Beat here on CLNS Radio. But I mean, tell me, are you going to be more focused on the Celtics over the next couple of weeks or the Red Sox? What do you think?
I'm always more focused on the Celtics.
There you go.
Basketball's my favorite. I love them both, but it's all about basketball. And when you got playoffs versus April baseball, all about the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like the NBA playoffs.
Yep. Yep. Nothing. And all my greatest times up in New England were in the springtime, seeing the Celtics in the playoffs. I mean, how many good times, you know, and intense. It's great being around that building at playoff time.
It is a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's exciting.
What else you got for us, Jess?
More playoff basketball in Boston, I don't know. I think this is a good matchup. The best possible time that we could be playing the Cavs. I like it for experience purposes, to get playoff experience against what should be a really good team. I also like how we're really hot right now, and this Cavs team hasn't played together in the playoffs. I don't know how's Love going to do. How's Irving going to do? How's LeBron going to do with David Black calling the plays like you guys were talking about? I think there's a lot of unknowns with Cleveland and between that and
Love has never been in the playoffs, if I'm correct, right? Love has never. This is his first playoff appearance.
Right. You're right.
That's right.
Yeah,
that is correct.
So it's a lot of unknowns for them. So I don't think it's going to be as easy as some people think it's going to be for them. I don't think it's going to be an easy lock for the finals, and I think we're going to give them a lot of trouble. Not necessarily win, like you guys are saying, but I think it's going to be a lot more competitive and a lot closer and a lot more fun than a lot of people are thinking it's going
to
be.
Oh, that team is definitely not going to roll to the finals. And I mean, they are going to struggle to win, to beat the Celtics in five games. If they beat the Celtics in five games, it will be a fight. It will be a struggle. I expect it to be a very close series and maybe go six. But after that, I mean, there's really not a team in the East that I think that Cleveland would just dominate after that. Even just looking at Washington, Toronto maybe, but Washington, Chicago, or Atlanta, they're going to have a tough time playing all those teams. Chicago has finally managed their health, knock on wood for Derrick Rose,
right?
Notwithstanding him, but they finally managed their health of all their other players. They feel like they are healthy going into the playoffs, probably for the first time.
Noah didn't play tonight.
But these guys aren't playing tonight. I mean, they're not.
No, but they're
resting. It's the last game of the season.
Right.
Yeah. I don't think they were really worried about their seeding at this point.
Mm-hmm.
They feel healthy from what I've seen. So a team like that is dangerous to Cleveland because they have the experience and they have the talent. So.
Yep.
Don't count out Toronto or Chicago. Don't count out Washington. Those are two teams that could really give Cleveland a run for their money. And if Atlanta's in the Eastern Conference Finals and it ends up being the 1-2 in the Eastern Conference Finals, I think that's a tough matchup for Cleveland as well. So this is not going to be an easy road for the Cleveland Cavaliers. And it starts against the Boston Celtics on Sunday. And that's where it comes down to whether the Celtics can use their sort of youth and speed and their flowing offense to
the athleticism and the guard play. Yeah, athleticism and guard play, I think, is what you're going to really be watching for in that series. The Celtics' athleticism and their running, and I think they could take advantage of the guard play as well. You know, so I definitely do. Hey, Rory, how many games does Scotty have the Celtics winning in? Four?
Scotty, I don't know. I didn't talk to him about it.
No, because Scotty, we could be playing the 96 Bulls.
Oh yeah.
97 Bulls and he'd have the Celtics in four games.
You're right.
I'm right. I have Cleveland in five. I have Cleveland in five.
I will go with Cleveland in six. I'm going to stick with the Mike Gorman approach. I think the Celtics take two games out of this thing. What do you think, Jess?
I'd love that. That'd be a huge win.
I hate predictions.
You don't have to make one.
My heart wants me to pick the Celtics, and I'd be rooting for them like no other. But if I had to make a prediction, that would be maybe accurate. I'm going to go Cavs in seven. I'm going to go all the way.
Cavs in seven. There we go.
Let
your heart speak a little bit. Yeah, let your head say the total outcome, but let your heart speak for the number of games, because that matters a lot less in the grand scheme of things. And you know what, Jess? Thanks for making that prediction. You don't have to do it again.
Thanks for calling in, Jess. Yeah.
Thanks for calling, sir. We'll hear from Jess Thomas in the playoffs for sure. Check him out on
the
Red Sox.
He is the MVP or the Rookie of the Year for sure.
Boom. Always stepping up. Speaking of stepping up, I want to let everybody know that over on the Twitter handle at CLNS Radio, Timmy Sclafani, he's our newest post-game show host and member. I think that's official at this point. I'm saying that he would like to come back next season, and I would like to have him back. So Timmy's been with us like a week or 2 weeks officially. He's been on the show, I guess. And he's working on the CLNS Radio Twitter handle over there. So he's catching your tweets and responding to you folks out there and letting you know what we're talking about if you're watching our timeline on Twitter. So hit us up over there. And also, while I'm at it, I'll just tell everybody to simply go to audiblepodcast.com/Celtics. And if you don't know what Audible is, you're going to find out. You get a free audiobook from the world's biggest online library. That's from the CLNS Beat podcast series and Audible. Go to audiblepodcast.com/Celtics for that free audiobook.
Well, I'm going to tell you what, Sean Backey just finished Bob Ryan's book on there. I'm going to do the same probably over the weekend. Bob Ryan, a great book. If you're a Celtic.
Yeah, so if you're looking for a nice book to read, not read, to listen to. Jeez. My goodness. If you're looking for a nice book to listen to, it's not a book on tape anymore, folks. It's a book on Audible. So go to audiblepodcast.com/Celtics. That's AUDIBLE. Podcast.com/Celtics. Get that book. Listen to it on your way to work. We've got about 20 minutes left here, Nick. And
time's a ticking.
I'm still trying to check this Indiana score and see what that game looks like because, to be honest with you, I am quite interested as to whether or not the Brooklyn Nets are going to make the playoffs or not. Indiana is currently down 12 to Memphis with 4 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. So it's looking like Memphis is trying to win that game, and they may end up doing it. And that's too bad because I really wanted that very slim chance that the Brooklyn Nets were going to hit the lottery this year and then give their pick to the Celtics.
Give it to us. Exactly.
I really wanted that.
That Brooklyn experience experiment flopped, huh? I mean, what a anticlimactic. I mean, now you look at KG's back in Minnesota, Pierce out in Washington, Joe Johnson's there alone. Jason Kidd is excelling with the Bucks as coach.
Right.
Brokaw wants to sell.
What is it? Do you know what that tells me? It tells me that that Paul Pierce's words that were in that article, the quotes that were in the article today on ESPN, I think that's where it was. SB Nation. Well, all right. I think I saw quotes on ESPN.com or something. Mm-hmm. But either way, wherever you find that article that quotes Paul Pierce about his time in Brooklyn, I think it comes down to his words about Deron Williams and him being the all-star caliber player, but not wanting it and not having the drive to be that great player. And he's the guy that's sort of left over on that squad. So I'll be interested to see if they can even win a game against Atlanta if they end up getting in, because I just felt that team was going to fold down the stretch, and they kind of did, and they ended up winning tonight against a not really great Orlando team to give themselves a chance. But that thing did fail, Nick. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, that was a major failure. I mean, even we used to make fun of Prokhorov four or five years ago, and he was saying, you know, things like we're going to be better than the Bulls of the 90s, better than the Lakers, better than the Celtics dynasty. And now here he even wants to sell. So that's been quite a disaster there. I mean, it could be way worse. They're still in the playoffs, but that looked like a team that could have really competed 2 years ago or a year ago, last year, I guess. You know, so
they were supposed to. They were supposed to with KG and Paul Pierce.
Wasn't bad. KG obviously is pretty done.
Right, but he was supposed to be that vocal locker room leader, you know, and it ended up that it didn't really work out that way. But yep. Nick, we have a little bit of a surprise here with 15 minutes left. I've noticed that this number's been on the board for 45 minutes now. And the little icon came up and said, this person would like to speak to us. Nick, it's Thirsty Boots.
Thirsty Boots.
What's
up, Thirsty?
How's it going?
Hi. I just wanted to say, do you remember when you asked me where I thought the Celtics would finish or what kind of a team they were, what I said?
You're going to have to remind me.
Remind us. Did you say first?
I said they were right in the middle, and you said
they
are.
Yeah, I do remember that. Yeah.
And guess where they are? Right in the
middle
of the East Coast.
She nailed it, Nick.
She did. Well, that's not a surprise. So what's your thoughts on the team, Thirsty?
I wouldn't be surprised if they beat the Cavs.
Beat the Cavs. See, this is the optimism that's coming out of the Celtics team.
Yeah, I know. When you were laughing about my guy figure, there has to be two of us. I can't leave him out there all by himself. But I don't think they're going any further than that.
Right.
If they get that far. But I think the first round, I wouldn't be surprised if it lasted 6 or 7 games anyway.
But this season is clearly a success. We could all walk away, regardless of what happens in the first round, and say, yeah, we're I'd say probably 4 rungs up the ladder. Where last year we were one rung up the ladder or whatever.
You know what's funny? I think probably the only person involved in this whole team, an organization, fan base, anything you want to tie to the Boston Celtics that would maybe say that they're not fully satisfied or proud with the job that has been done this year is Brad Stevens, because he's never satisfied.
Well, I'm not satisfied either.
Yeah.
Not satisfied,
I'm not satisfied. I think I like the team now, and I hope they keep it together and let it gel a little bit more and mature.
Well, I'm not saying satisfied in the sense of a championship or where I want this franchise to be going forward, but I am certainly satisfied as far as my expectations going into the season and where they are right now. If they get swept by Cleveland, I will be happy with the way that this season has ended up. Maybe a little disappointed in not winning a game, but the fact that they made the playoffs, everything else is profit for me. Everything else is gravy.
No, I think the team's doing well. I do.
Yeah.
They've lost me someplace in the shuffle, along with, half their team. I play a little game on the blog, on the Celtics blog, over-under points. And the other night, I was trying to figure out who I was going to get, and I said, I like Prince. They got him from Cleveland. He's back in Cleveland. I mean, I have not been able to keep up with the team the whole time.
I see what you're saying. Okay.
Right, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, there's been a lot
been
of
the
movement.
Same way. Yeah, I've been the same way. I mean, and I've been busy, and it has been a revolving door up until probably, 2-3 months? Well, until the trade.
Well, it was February, right. It was the middle of February. It was when Isaiah Thomas came over. But guys, since then,
we still
the
don't
Celtics
know
have
been
be one of the best
year.
Teams in the East. They've been
very
consistent.
Don't know who's gonna be there,
right? No, you're right. We don't know who's going to be here next year. Yep.
And another thing, Kelly Olynyk. I was so pleased with the way that he was playing after he hurt his eye.
Mm-hmm.
I said, he finally got hurt. It wasn't as bad as he thought it would be, and now he can play. Now he's being aggressive. Tonight, I didn't think he was.
Well, he took another bump tonight. He's got a gash on the top of his head that he probably has to get stitches
for. Well, that was at the end of the game, though.
Right.
He was quiet, but he still scored 16 at 5-5.
Yeah, it was quiet 16. But
it was quiet.
But he doesn't go in there and fight for rebounds. He doesn't
that's
really
a product
guard
of,
anybody.
That's a product of Stevens, I think. Because Stevens, his offense, his strategy seems to be pulling the big men away from the basket.
That is definitely the strategy, Nick. But I think she does have a little bit of a point where I think that his game in particular, he's just not as aggressive as he used to,
before he got
popped, Kelly Olynyk. But I think that he still needs to work to getting there, Thirsty, because after his ankle his ankle injury, he took a while to come back from that. And it took 2 to 3 weeks before we felt like he was back to being 100% or even close to it and shooting well and things like that. So now it's going to take him a little while to come back from this weird eye thing. And as far as being more aggressive on the court is concerned, I have a feeling
similar to playoffs start, Sully really working for minutes.
Right.
Sully's had to work for minutes. Tonight he played 30 minutes. I think that's probably 28 minutes or something. But he's one where it's kind of been, where's he going to land in the rotations and all this too? So, And again, who's going to be back next year?
Yeah.
Hmm? Yeah, we don't know if he'll be back.
He's one of them.
Yeah, you know, people were asking me about free agents earlier today, and I sort of said, guys, I don't really know. I'd have to look at the list and see who's out there. I'm more concerned, much as Brad Stevens was. Brad Stevens didn't even want to talk about the Cleveland Cavaliers game tonight. He talked about the Milwaukee Bucks. He was mentioning the Bucks and their lineup, how long the Bucks are, and he was really concerned with the Celtics winning this game tonight. So I'm going to take a page out of his book, and I'm going to say, I don't care about free agents next year. I'm not concerned with who's going to be here next year. I'm just going to enjoy this playoff series and however many games that they can make it. You know, so it's great to speculate on all that stuff, but I think for now, I'm just going to let that sit, and we could talk again in a few weeks when the Celtics are knocked out of the playoffs, and we can discuss that at that point, because I think that's when the team is going to look at it as well.
Well, you know, once I get in, you never can tell what's going to come out.
Right.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
Got to just enjoy it.
I mean, that's kind of crazy hopeful, but, you know, you don't know. You don't know.
You never know. That's what's great
about
the playoffs.
Anyone can choke.
Right. Yeah, and we know LeBron can. We know he can step up big, but we've seen him fall apart, too.
Yep.
You know, if any opponent
and you
has
don't
seen
have
him fall
to
apart,
be a rookie to choke.
Yeah, no, you don't. No, you don't. But
all right, Thirsty.
We
we're glad you're listening.
Playoffs, Thirsty. Yeah, thanks,
JB.
Okay, I'll talk to you later.
All right, there she goes, Thirsty Boots, longtime listener here at CLNS Radio. And as we round this thing out, I will remind you that after the game 3 of this first round playoff series, after game 3, that's correct, there will be a Garden Report produced by Jared Weiss, because that game is at home, baby. So head on over to youtube.com/CLNS Radio to get prepared for that stuff and check out all the old Garden Reports by Jared. And while you're at it, you may as well go to reachedapp.com/CLNS as well. And download that app, because that's a brand new way to talk about your favorite sports teams with all your friends. So if you've got Reached, you can get in contact with your friends and share it across all your social media pages. You can have a bunch of groups and invite your friends to join you. So get hashtag on board with CLNS and go to reachedapp.com/CLNS. That's R-E-A-C-H-T. APP.com/CLNS.
Really, you know what's been great? Yeah, you know what has been great? I guess, I don't know, were you there for the JoJo White tribute?
No.
Okay, so you missed the two greatest things this season. You know I love the history. To see JoJo White get a nice tribute about, you know,
wait a minute, going to the Hall of Fame. Was that was the Cleveland game?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, I was there. I'm sorry. I was there for that. Yes, my mistake.
Yeah,
I was thinking, I thought that you were talking about something else.
Yeah, of course. And then Hondo last night.
Right.
Absolutely awesome. I'm just so thrilled for him. You talk about two humble guys, JoJo White, two underrated, not spoken about enough, humble guys. I mean, John Havlicek, 13 of 16 seasons, he was an all-star. I think he has 10 championships, right, or 8. He has at least 8. invented the six-man position, basically popularized it. But great to see Hondo getting the attention nationally, too. It was all over the web. So that's awesome, seeing that stuff. You know, I love that. And then JoJo, of course, you know, has been kind of overlooked for decades to get into the Hall of Fame. His standout, of course, was 76 at, like, I think he played like 55 minutes in that triple overtime game in the finals. So that's great to see as well. The only guy missing is, you know, there's all this talk, Rory, about Havlicek stole the ball 50 years and all, the greatest call in sports history, at least in basketball for sure. And Johnny Most is not in the Hall of Fame.
Well, he needs to go in as a contributor soon.
Oh, my God. Chick Hearn is in there. I still remember a couple, I think, many years ago, we ran the, Red's Army ran the put Johnny Most in the Hall of Fame.
It's completely disgraceful. It's disgusting.
There he is. There he is. I mean, come on. How could they be all over the web, all over NBA TV with the 50th anniversary, the greatest call in all of sports, and the guy who made the call isn't in the Hall of Fame? It's incredible to me. Tommy's getting in for the second time. Tommy's getting inducted as a coach this year.
Ah, very nice. You know what? If the fact that he's not in, it just feels
a
like
dirty, vicious punch.
It's disgraceful. It's disgusting.
That's right.
But
it's
really
completely
is.
Disgraceful. It's disgusting.
It is, though. I mean, you think about all the how about Bird stole the ball. I mean, there's so many. Henderson stole the
Rolls
ball.
Rolls it
there's
in the
so
DJ.
Many
yeah.
Great plays.
That's mm-hmm. Right.
So many great plays. And another thing I have to say, too, we were all busted on Matt Fahey 2 or 3 years ago because he was behind Phil Pressey, and still he, you know, though, of course, with Isaiah Thomas, he's not playing the minutes, but he still has a role on this team, Phil Pressey. Give Fahey
right.
Credit there.
He's the, yeah, he's
now,
the,
he
he's the third
right.
Guard, and he's the guy that comes out and another guy, Nick, that steps up when he's asked to step up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he... I mean, I'm not saying that these are guys that are going to be world beaters, and they're guys that are going to go out and beat the Cavs, and that there are guys that can win the championship right here, right now. I'm just saying that when they're asked to step up, they give their best effort, and they have some talent, so it works out for them when they play as a team and they run the system that Stevens is coaching them to run. So that's what makes this team dangerous, is that they are playing as a team. They're not going to beat the Atlantas out there that play as a team. They're not going to beat the Chicagos that play as a team, but they can beat a team that still is trying to figure themselves out. And I think that's kind of what Cleveland is. I'm not really sure Cleveland has an identity yet. They've been playing well recently, but yeah, I don't know if they really have a full identity yet. And we'll just have to wait and see and check it out on Sunday, because LeBron is really going to... Bring it. He's back. It's
you
Celtics
know,
and LeBron again.
Yeah, we're wrapping up now, I know. So
yep,
I wanted to also mention, again, I wanted to thank you, Rory, for another great season. You'll hear from me in the playoffs. I'll be calling in.
Wonderful.
And also, I want to mention that Jared Weiss, CLNS Radio's Jared Weiss, locker room reporter, he's at every game at TD Garden. You said it already. But he has, I want to definitely thank he and Kyle George, who have been amazing this season, covering the team, you know, on location at TD. But Jared has mentioned on several occasions how much fun this team is to cover. And he goes back to the original, you know, not the original Big Three, but to Pierce, Garnett, and Allen. So it's good to hear this team's fun to cover again. I'm sure last year was kind of a downer.
Yeah, I'm sure it was, too. And even though that they were... They had a little promise last year, and I'm sure. So I'm glad that Jared's still with us, because he does some great work. Again, check him out, youtube.com/CLNS Radio, The Garden Report. Nick Gelso, sir, great doing the show with you tonight. I'm glad.
Terrific.
We had a few contributors here to the post game show, and we will be back at it again for at least 4 more games in the 2014-15 season in the 2015 playoffs here, as the Celtics take on the Cleveland Cavaliers on Sunday. We don't know the time yet, but we will be with you after the game for the post-game show. I will probably be the host of that show if I get my way. We'll see who the co-host is going to be. But for everybody here at the post-game show, we thank you all for listening throughout the season, and we hope to hear
thank
from
you.
You in the playoffs. Go Celtics, baby. Take a game or two. 2-1.
This has been the Celtics Postgame Show on CLNSRadio.com. Thanks for listening. The Celtics might not be in action every day, but we are, so stay connected. Follow us on Twitter at CLNSRadio and check out our broadcast schedule for the best weekly sports podcasts on the web.
Yeah, I'll definitely call it.
All right. Hit it, boss.